All right. You may know, if you've been to the movie Toy Story 4, you would know that song. That's a song that was sung to a toy, sort of a made-up toy called Forky. And I really enjoyed that movie. We'll find out if Gino Salamone enjoyed it as well. He's a Hollywood insider, done a lot of work with movies. We'll ask him about Toy Story 4, and we'll talk about some of the other summer movie offerings. So what movies are you looking forward to seeing, or what have you seen that you really enjoyed?
Well, I did enjoy Toy Story 4, although there is a controversy, Larry. Is it a fork or is it a spork?
Yeah,
well, it should have been Sporky or Forky, but
they
we got
went with
by
Forky.
That's right. No, the one I'm looking forward to is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the new Quentin Tarantino movie that opens at the end of the month, and there's someone from the Madison area who's playing a big part in it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We'll talk about that, and we'll let our listeners join in too. If you have a movie that you want to ask about, or maybe you want to promote or pan, you can call in. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Gino, you're a familiar voice to Milwaukee audiences, but for those in other areas of the state, how'd you get involved with interviewing movie stars?
Larry, it's a strange story. I had a company where I used to book old TV celebrities for appearances. So I worked with the Gilligan's Island cast, Leave It to Beaver, and then a character named Pat came on Saturday Night Live, played by Julia Sweeney, and you couldn't tell what sex Pat was, and that was the gist of that joke. So I ended up proposing a tour, and I took Julia on the road doing personal appearances, and then when she did a movie, Disney hired me to go on the road with her. Someone didn't show up to do the interview. I did it, and then they started asking me, and then other studios started asking me. So I fly out almost 40 times a year, at least, to New York or L.A. and get to interview people who have movies coming out.
Oh, man, that's got to be a blast of a job.
I've loved movies my whole life to be able to do this. For instance, they just sent us to Liverpool for the Yesterday movie about the Beatles music. These are things I would pay to do.
Well, here we've got there are a ton of movies that are coming out. The blockbusters, we're seeing a few of those.
Right. The superhero movies. And unfortunately, that causes a problem at the theaters because there are so many theaters showing these superhero movies that the smaller movies and the documentaries don't often get a chance. And it's really distressing.
I saw Avengers Endgame. Well, I have a daughter who's 15, soon to be 16. So I get to see a lot of movies that I might not have otherwise seen, but it was an exciting movie. And I'm just amazed at the special effects and what they can do anymore.
Right. And now what's supposed to be the finale of this group of superhero movies just opened this past week, the Spider-Man movie. And I'm going to tell you, you have to stick around because in those movies, once the credits end, there are usually one or two scenes. Well, there are two scenes after Spider-Man, and one is a major plot reveal setting things up for the future.
Yeah, okay. Well,
but we don't tell that.
Well,
no spoilers.
You know, I have my choice this late afternoon after work. My daughter wants to go and see the new Spider-Man movie with her friend, and of course, she doesn't want me sitting with her girlfriend while they talk. So, all right, I can sit in the back or something. I was thinking about Yesterday.
I loved Yesterday. It's such an interesting premise. Now, the frustration in doing movies is it's a sequel, it's a reboot, we've seen these movies that they're making over and over again. This is a fresh idea. A young performer, a struggling performer, is out on his bike. There's a blackout. He is in an accident, and when he comes to in the hospital, no one has heard of the Beatles.
Yeah.
So he begins performing the Beatles music and becomes a huge star.
It is an amazing story, and the guy's a good singer.
He really is. And, you know, in Liverpool, talking to the director, Danny Boyle, he said, they talked to so many people coming in, but when he stood in front of that microphone and played the guitar, the sincerity in his voice, he said there was no doubt in picking Himesh Patel as the lead in this movie.
Yeah, and that's my other choice because Yesterday starts within 5 minutes of Spider-Man. So, you know, I'm deciding, do I want to see Spider-Man or do I want to see Yesterday? And to some extent, I was thinking, well, maybe Spider-Man because I can see Yesterday. Probably it's going to be out. I'll be able to watch it on my TV screen.
Unfortunately, that's the case, right? These movies don't stick around long in the theaters. But I think Yesterday will be out at least 2 or 3 more weeks, hopefully.
Well, I tell you what, it's fun talking with you about the movies. Gino Salamone, our guest, Hollywood insider. He's interviewed lots of Hollywood stars. And so we're talking with him maybe a little bit about his experiences, but also about the summer movies. So I hope you'll join in, chime in with the movies that you've seen or want to see or maybe want to recommend at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Madeline in De Pere called to recommend the movie Breakthrough.
I don't know this movie. I wish Madeline would give us some more details.
I wish she would have too, because I thought, I don't know that movie.
Right, does not ring a bell. I haven't screened it yet, but maybe it's coming out later in the summer, but I will check into it.
You've been in a few movies yourself, actually.
Yes.
What was that like? I've been in one, so.
Okay, what was the one you were in? I'm curious, Larry.
Well, I was in a locally produced movie about 30 years ago, and I've forgotten the name of it already. I was the dead husband.
Oh, really?
What? And so all of my shots, most of it was shot in Italy, but there were some scenes that I got that were shot here in Wisconsin, and so all of my scenes were flashbacks from the wife.
Okay.
So it was fun. It was a lot of waiting around.
Oh, that's for sure. I was in Naked Gun 2.5, the Leslie Nielsen movie. Leslie was a friend of mine, and I was a lab technician in the movie. We started filming at 7 a.m. in the morning, finished at 11 p.m. at night. When the movie came out, that's how quick the scene is. I was there, and I find it hard to find where I am in this movie. And then the great thing about the Zucker brothers who made that movie is in the credits, they had people who didn't have lines, but we like them anyway. So under lab technician, I get my big screen credit. And then I was in a movie called America's Sweethearts. I had my own scene. I had a trailer and a scene with Billy Crystal, wardrobe, all this. I'd never experienced anything like it. And so we do this scene 4 or 5 times. In the makeup trailer is Julia Roberts, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and myself. Larry, if I died at that moment, I would have been in heaven. Anyway, do the movie. The scene goes well. Thankfully, I didn't mess it up. There's always that fear that you're going to be the one that mess it up. And then when it was released, I was cut out. The story of Hollywood.
Oh, man, the story of Hollywood. Terry and Roberts wanted to see the Mustang, but it didn't come to her area. Have you seen it?
The Clint Eastwood movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
How can you find a place to see a movie like that?
Well, now these days, thankfully, Netflix, the lag time between a movie in theaters and on these Netflix and Amazon Prime is a lot shorter than it used to be. So hopefully your wait won't be long.
And what was it about?
I did not see this one. Now, here I'm the movie expert, and I'm 0-2, Breakthrough and Mustang. But I believe she's talking about the Clint Eastwood movie where he's a mule for a drug lord. An older man as a drug
dealer. Oh, yeah. Okay. I've seen the trailer.
Right.
You've probably seen the trailer.
Yes.
Well, you know, it seems like there aren't a lot of new ideas coming out of Hollywood. What's your take on that?
Well, there are new ideas, but unfortunately, Hollywood won't take the chance on making them. That's why the advantage now of someone who can shoot a movie on an iPhone and, you know, get a little bit of attention. But to get space, as we talked about in the theaters, you're right. It's all remakes. It's big budget things. There's a documentary, the Luciano Pavarotti documentary that Ron Howard made. It was fantastic. But it's not going to get a fair shot in the theaters because to get that space is difficult. And I guess that's why we're fortunate to have things like Netflix, you know, and Amazon Prime, where you can sit at home and see a movie that got by in the theater, it just went too quickly.
Yeah, we've got some pieces of trailers from a couple of movies. Maybe We've been talking a little bit about Toy Story 4. Let's, if you got, Nigel, have you got that up? Let's listen to a piece of that, and we can talk about that for a minute.
Everyone, Bonnie made a friend in class.
She's already making friends.
No, she literally made a new friend. I want you to meet Forky.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
He's a spork.
Yes, yeah, I know. Forky is the most important toy to Bonnie right now. We all have to make sure nothing happens to him.
Woody, we have a situation.
I am not a toy. I was made for soup, salad, maybe chili, and then the trash.
Buzz, we've got to get Forky.
Oh, man.
Well done. You know, after Toy Story 3, I thought they ended it perfectly. When I heard they were coming back for 4, I was concerned. But they've added some new characters, and it's still fresh, and it's still well done.
I really have enjoyed every one of those Toy Story movies. I think 2 might have been maybe my favorite, but... And it looks like there's actually an opening for a Toy Story 5 without spoiling it for the people who haven't seen it yet.
It is unfortunate. I wish they would just always stop with them, you know, wanting more. Don't say, oh, they made another one. And there were moments in this movie, like there's a scene between Bo Peep and Tom Cruise's character, and I felt emotion looking at these computer-generated characters, and sometimes with real actors, you don't feel that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Carolyn DePeer will give you a chance. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Yes, I cannot highly enough recommend the movie Mustang. It is a wonderful movie. I can't remember if I rented it or saw it late night. It's a Clint Eastwood movie, and it features members of the Hmong community who portrayed his next-door neighbor and how they were discriminated against, and he stood up for them. You know, it's a really wonderful movie.
You know, it is so rare for someone of Clint's age to be able to still make movies, and he's still allowed to do it and still does a great job. Much credit goes to him.
Yeah, thanks, Carol. Appreciate that very much. And I was trying to think. There, he's done some age-appropriate.
Right.
There's one where he's hauling drugs.
Yes, that was one. The Mule, I think.
The Mule.
Yes. Not Mustang, but, you know, you see it when he walks into a room. There's a regalness about him. You understand why someone's a movie star. Clint Eastwood, just the way he carries himself, you can see. You understand.
Well, I understand there's a lot of... There are quite a few films out now. The superhero, the Spider-Man. You haven't seen Spider-Man?
I have seen it, yes.
And so what did you think?
I liked it very much. It's, you know, appealing to probably a younger audience, but the movie does a great job of kind of wrapping up and explaining some things that happened after the end of Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, and in fact, I saw a trailer of it, and they said, well, if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame yet, don't watch this trailer.
Right.
Yeah, and
you know why.
because I had seen it, I watched it, and I thought, oh, yeah, I can see why.
But do you know what? A sign why there are too many of these movies? Gwyneth Paltrow was being interviewed, and someone told her that she was in one of the Spider-Man movies, and she said, no, I was not in it. And the man who was in the movie with her said, yes, we were in this movie together. And she's like, oh, yeah, I was. So maybe you've made too many superhero movies if the stars themselves don't even remember.
Oh, my goodness. Talking today with Gino Salamone, Hollywood insider. He's interviewed many Hollywood stars, knows a lot about the movies, and we're talking with him about those movies. So for you, if you have a question about a movie or maybe one that you'd like to recommend, I hope you'll join in. I see we've got some coming up from emails here. But you can also call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. We'll be back right after a quick look at the news and weather and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. So you stay with us.
Yeah.
yesterday. All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
When did you write that?
I didn't write it. Paul McCartney wrote it. The Beatles.
Who?
Do you genuinely not know who the Beatles are?
Well, that's a clip from the movie Yesterday that we mentioned a little bit earlier on the show. Larry Mueller here talking about summer movies today and films with our guest Gino Salamone. He's been doing interviews with movie stars since 1995, currently works for Fox 6 in Milwaukee. What questions do you have about this year's crop of summer movies, or how do you think streaming will affect movie theaters? Love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a favorite movie you want to talk about, too. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. How is Yesterday doing? And have you looked to see how it's doing?
It's doing well. Now, it didn't cost a lot of money to make, so that's a good thing. And I think people are looking for alternatives. And because the premise of this movie is so unique, you know, when he finds out no one knows who the Beatles are, he goes to the internet, searches the Beatles, and up come Volkswagen Bugs. And, you know, and who doesn't love the Beatles music? And they do it in such a beautiful way. You know, he does a great job with singing all these songs. I think they do 12 to 14 Beatles songs. It's unique. And do you like a movie, Love Actually? Do you know that movie?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
That
Love Actually was a movie set in England with Hugh Grant. And in this movie, one of the plot lines is a young guy in England has had it with British women. So he decides he's going to save his money and come to the United States and find exotic women. What city does he choose? Milwaukee. Now they show an airport sign, which is not Milwaukee. So the writer of Love Actually is also the writer of Yesterday. So I had to ask him, I said, you know, how did you choose Milwaukee of all the cities in the United States? Now, when we weren't on the air, he said, well, I'll be honest with you. He said, I asked fans, I said, what's a strange sounding city in the United States? And people said Milwaukee. Now, when the camera was rolling, he said, oh, I chose it because the most beautiful women in the world are in Milwaukee. So he's a diplomat as well.
Oh, my goodness me. Well, I'm... Now you've almost got me talked into seeing Yesterday.
You have to see it. I'm telling you. You have to see it. You will be pleased you did.
Vernon Boyd, Wisconsin, has something for us. Hi, Vern.
Oh, hi. Glad you let me on.
Sure.
I was watching Amazon, and there's a guy named Terrence Hill. He's probably the most underrated Western player of all time, and he plays as Fast Gun. But his two latest movies, he's a little bit older. They're called Dr. West, Part 1 and Part 2. This guy is good. He is so fast with the gun, you wouldn't believe it. He comes. He's a noble from England, and he's riding his bicycle on that. He has got a whole series of movies, and then he gets older and he plays Dr. West. Those are two of the best Westerns I've ever seen. Even my daughter liked them.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you passed those along because, you know, Westerns, unfortunately, not the popularity that they once had. They recently released Deadwood, the movie based on the TV series, and there's an actor in there, Ian McShane, who I think is just a genius. But I'm going to check these out. Thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We had several people called to see the movie, the Clint Eastwood movie we were talking about was really Gran Torino.
That's right. It wasn't a Mustang. It was a Gran Torino.
Maddie says that Breakthrough has this U.S. star Christy Metz in it.
Yes, from the TV series This Is Us. Now, she asked early on if I knew that movie. The title, I see probably... 200 movies a year. The title went by me, but I did actually see that movie and interview the cast. And this is a new trend in Hollywood. There's a group that is making faith-based movies, and there's a huge audience that wants to go to the movies and not be offended by language and be inspired by stories. And this is based on a true story of a boy who drowned, and everyone had given hope. They had given up on him as dead. His mother prayed, and a miracle, he came through and came back.
There are some faith-based movies out there. There's another one. This goes back a few years, about a girl who was a great swimmer and was bitten by a shark and lost her leg.
Right. Leg or arm? Part of her.
It might have been arm. Okay. I think it was arm.
Yes. No. You know what? This is what I like to see. If you feel there's a need and there's a movie you want to see as a family, if you support these type of movies, they will make more, and we're going to be seeing a lot more of these faith-based movies.
We have the Mustang was, that was the story of Roman Coleman, a violent convict who was given the chance to participate in rehabilitation therapy programs involving the training of wild Mustangs.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying. See, the Mustang, the Gran Torino, it all converged in my head.
Well, let's go to Brian in Eagle River next. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just wondering what your thoughts were. I know you guys obviously watch some movies, but I was wondering what your thoughts are concerning the future of entertainment with respect to, I'll just be frank, recently I play a lot of video games, but I think for a long time video games have sort of been panned as sort of, I don't know, for kids, I don't know, a lot of shooting, that kind of stuff. Recently I played a video game called Red Dead Redemption 2, which frankly, like, is, it blew me away. I've never seen a Western that was so fully fleshed out. You really, truly felt like it was like an 80-hour Western, but you got to live it in three dimensions. So it's like an open-world video game. You get a horse and you get a gun. I'm wondering if you considered the future of entertainment, because, I mean, today people go to a movie and it's an hour and a half long. Are there any? Have you ever played any of these video games where you sort of play through a story? Do you have any experience with that?
I think that is the future of entertainment. The amount of money that those games are making is unbelievable. And I've been lucky enough to see some of the technology of where you put on, you know, it's virtual reality. You walk in and you turn, everywhere you turn, you see something. I think this will be making more money than movies will very, very soon.
Very interesting. And you think there will be movies out of, well, there have been movies from video games.
Yes, yes, there have. But I never find from at least the players that they're satisfied with those movies. If you have a lesser interest, you know, you might be okay. But if you're really devoted to that video game, you're invariably disappointed.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. You can join in too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. We have another clip from the movie Pavarotti. And I don't know, so Nigel, can you pull that one? And Nigel gives me a thumbs up. He can. So let's do it.
My father was a tenor. You always do what your father is doing. So I'm a little tenor. My mother says, my son sing with a beautiful voice. I say, Mama, you say that because you are my mother. No, because I don't say that when I hear your father.
Luciano's voice was beautiful.
He was just opening his mouth. Everything was easy. He was a nervous wreck before every performance. He would always say,
we go tonight.
He was crushed by injustice.
He became completely obsessed by what he could do for others.
I learned to love people.
You're a trusting person?
Are you joking? I will not exist if I don't trust people.
Oh, man.
You know, with the treat of this movie, first of all, you have Ron Howard, who's made it. Ron Howard, who knows how to make a movie that audiences will find appealing. And there are a lot of younger people who've never heard of Luciano Pavarotti already at this point. You know, it seems like someone's gone and a year or two later, they're already forgotten. This is a huge personality, and I defy you to watch this without smiling and being entertained. And I saw young people in the theater as well who probably had never seen Luciano Pavarotti or heard of him, and you just were enthralled. It's really well done.
And Ron Howard, well, he's done – think about the movies. Have you ever interviewed him?
Yes, many times, yes. And, you know, he is exactly what you see – and what you hope for, energetic, passionate about making movies, and, you know, took that pass. We think of him as little Opie on the Andy Griffith Show, and he's, you know, put forth this amazing career making great movies still. Go see Pavarotti if it's around.
Deb in Wausau, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Larry. Hey, I was just wondering if what's your guest thought of the movie Rocket Man?
All right, I went into it when I first saw this, the Taron Egerton at playing Elton John. I wasn't convinced because we'd seen Rami Malek with Bohemian Rhapsody and Queen, and you saw him and you thought, wow, that's Freddie Mercury. They went a completely different route, as you know, and it's more like a musical where they use the songs of Elton John. It completely captured me. I thought it was really, really well done. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've seen it 3 times, and I could see it again.
Oh. Well, if you liked Elton John, and now he didn't, they didn't dub Elton John voice.
No, and that's another, and more credit to him to be able to pull that off. Deb, did you see Bohemian Rhapsody as well?
I have not yet. It's on my list, though.
Okay, I'd be curious to what you think of the comparison of how they're done. But, yeah, I went into Rocket Man not optimistic and came out very happy and satisfied.
All right. Debbie, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to John in Milwaukee next. Hi, John.
Hi. I agree with your guest that we have way too many sequels and remakes going on. But I want to ask about that. Are there any sequels coming up that you know of that you think are going to be good and worthwhile? Or even better yet, are there any sequels that should be made?
Well,
for
John,
example, a sequel to District 9.
Right. Yes, you're saying something that's striking close to me because right now, I don't know, I wouldn't call it a sequel, but a reimagining. All of a sudden, Disney now is taking all their cartoons and making live-action versions of it. And, you know, it started out with Dumbo, which did not do well in the box office. And I saw Aladdin, enjoyed it, very colorful. Now we've got Lion King opening up in about 2 weeks here. And they've already run out of material. I wish they would have done those movies as, like, maybe once a year, make it something more special. Now already we're done with it. I don't want a sequel just for sequel's sake, but unfortunately Hollywood will not gamble, and they feel like, okay, it succeeded and made money. Let's make another one.
Yeah. John, does that help out?
Yeah, like I said, I'm dying to see a sequel to District 9, but there are probably a bunch of other ones out there that would be good too if we just do them.
And John, the way things work, you know, something like District 9, a sequel – there are fans that are passionate about it. Sometimes with the right amount of attention and crowdfunding, sometimes those movies get made, you know, the studios go, okay, I guess there is a market for this. We should make that sequel.
And so District 9, Gino, I'm trying to remember that.
John, do you want to describe it?
Yeah, I think it was an Australian movie where there are a bunch of aliens kind of relegated to a certain district within the city. And one of the guys who's responsible for controlling them or keeping them under control gets infected and starts turning into one of them. And it's a total mind change for him. It's just really interesting, compelling beyond just an alien's story.
What you're saying, that it's different, exactly right. And also the fact that with limited money, those effects in that movie are so convincing and believable. I thought it was
great. I remember
great.
It now.
Yeah.
I remember
the giant shrimp men. Men who look like giant shrimp as well.
John, thanks very much for calling. Well, are there some that you think Gino should be?
I don't want any more sequels. I really don't. I mean, I think you spoil it by going back too often to that well. I wish they would just say, look, we're going to trust. This is what baffles me about Hollywood. I trust you, Larry. You've made a movie. I really like what you do. So I hire you to make another movie. Then you come to me with this vision, but then I test market everything about it. And I say, well, Larry, no, they don't like that star. You're going to have to use a different star. No, Larry, that ending is wrong. We need to make it a happy, upbeat ending. And suddenly that vision, the reason I hired you, is all out the window. I wish that Hollywood would trust because we need fresh material. We don't need sequels.
Well, what have we got this summer? Yeah, we've talked just about a few movies. Let's talk about some more of the movies that people can see at this.
The one I'm most excited about is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino. Now, when he makes a movie, it's an event. And this one, it parallels, it's not about the Manson murders, but there is a character played by Margot Robbie, who is Sharon Tate, Brad Pitt, and Leo. Leo DiCaprio are the stars of it. Leo is a star on his way down. Brad Pitt is his stunt artist. They get Brad Pitt gets involved a bit with the Manson family, and Quentin Tarantino is such. I was in Los Angeles when this was being made. He had those streets reverted. They looked exactly like they did as in the late 60s and early 70s. And Al Pacino is in this movie. There's someone from the Madison area in this movie. Mike Moe, he plays Bruce Lee in the film. And if you see him in the trailer, it blows my mind. He looks exactly like him, sounds exactly like him. This is a movie that, honestly, I'm so excited to see. I cannot wait.
And it's coming out...
The 26th, I believe.
The 26th.
Right. And then the other movie, of course, is Lion King. And as I was talking about this, you know, taking all these animated movies, from everything I've seen, the technology that they have here, they never used a real animal in the making of this movie, but you would never know it. And it looks fantastic.
And let's see, we were talking earlier about video games and so forth. There's an Angry Birds movie, too, coming out. I think that's in August.
Yes. I will just say this. You know, they send us around the world to see these movies. They flew us to Hawaii for Angry Birds. That wasn't even enough to make me like it. I just think that it's a colorful movie for really small kids. I don't think that's one that translates well, but... Again, it made enough money, so let's do a second. And I venture to guess there'll be a third, too.
Let's see. We've got Good Boys.
Is
it Good Boys? I was trying to think of the other movies that are coming
okay.
out.
Okay. All right. I'm not familiar with Good Boys. I'm sorry.
I'm
looking a week ahead. I'm looking at Lion King and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But, you know, again, it just shows the problem of smaller movies. If a guy who works in the business and I've not heard it yet, that's not good on my part.
Well, I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan. Have you seen Blinded by the Light?
No, have not seen it yet. It's coming out, I believe, at the early fall.
Yeah, I think it's.
The trailer is incredible.
Looks,
no, they don't. The soonest we see a movie is usually about 2 weeks before release in theaters. But, you know, come on, if you can't mind the music of Springsteen.
Yeah, right. The box office numbers, how have they. They're down a bit, I heard.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. And I think it's how many superhero movies can you see? You know, I think we're tired of it. But you also go to a movie theater and. There's expense. There's noise. People have great home theaters at home. More and more people are wanting just to stay home and not be disturbed. Like, if I want to take a minute, I pause it, go to the other room, make a sandwich, and come back. But for me, these big movies, you have to see them in the theater. That crowd experience, there's nothing like sharing that with people.
And those, and I suppose that's why we have all these blockbusters, because those are movies that will bring people to the theater.
Right. And you talked about Avengers Endgame. Well, when things happen on the screen, you heard people in the audience reacting.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
I want, those are the movies where you want to go the first weekend. You want it jammed. No one spoils it for you. You don't know any of the surprises, and you walk out saying that was worth every penny.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I was thinking about that, my own experience in the theater, and now the theaters are. I go to often to. There's a theater in Sun Prairie that I go to, and I mean, you can practically lay down in the seats. They're really comfortable.
Too comfortable. I don't want to fall asleep, but it is really, it's more comfortable than any seat I have at home. I never recline because I don't want the danger of dozing off and missing something.
Well,
and I'm going to tell you quickly, Larry, I remember a big name critic. I was in a screening, dead asleep for 3/4 of the movie. A month later, I see the ad in the newspaper. Roller coaster ride. Well, if you fall asleep on a roller coaster, I don't think it's a roller coaster ride.
So what's been your favorite, just for fun, what have been some of your favorite interviews with the movie star?
Well, I understand we have a problem, you and I, over a woman that we both are very fond of.
I so want
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I she is as nice as you would expect, and... Well, my gauge is what she treats people like when she knows there's not a camera there. And she's equally kind to every person. Someone who came to mind just this past week, one of my favorite people to talk to, it still breaks my heart, is Robin Williams.
Yeah.
It was such a treat talking to Robin. And, you know, the energy he put into an interview. A lot of these people are on automatic pilot. They give the same answers to every question. Not Robin. It was a performance and a show. And I'm just, you know, the circumstances of his death, I'm just so sad he's gone.
Yeah. And his stand-up, even his stand-up.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
And then there are the ones that are tougher that I've loved and respected my whole life. I love Robert De Niro. I think he's a great talent. But he hates the interview process so much that almost every time they team him with a director or a co-star because he doesn't have a lot he wants to say. He likes yes or no answers.
So you can't give him those kinds of questions.
No, absolutely. I learned a long time ago. That's right.
Well, Bob in Minocqua emailed to say he hasn't heard your voice since Reitman and Mueller.
Reitman and Miller, yes, on WKTI Radio in Milwaukee.
So it's brought back some great memories.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Bob. Thank you for emailing in. Appreciate it.
Oh, and so just to summarize, your favorite, what we really should see this summer.
Yes.
Are.
I'm going to say this without even having seen it yet. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I can't say enough about this. That trailer alone had me more excited than anything else I've seen so far this summer. And I'm going to say that Lion King is going to be in that category because based on the scenes that I have seen, perfectly done. And give a small movie like Yesterday a chance.
Yeah, I'm going to give Yesterday a chance for sure. But I still, and I did like Toy Story 4.
I know, but stop now. We don't need a 5.
We don't need a 5. Well, let's go out with a little bit from Yesterday. There it is. Our guest today, and we'll have him back, Gino Salamone, Hollywood insider. He's interviewed, practically you hardly name a star that he hasn't interviewed for in his work. It's great to have him back, and we will have him back again. And talk maybe in the winter for those late end of the year releases. It'd be a good time to have him back. Jesse LeGrue will be with us tomorrow to talk about password management with your computer. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.